Good morning. Welcome to our services this morning. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I hope that you have a wonderful day, a blessed day. And we have a service today that is geared for moms. And I think you're going to enjoy the message. But let's have a word of prayer. And then we'll get started by reading the scriptures. We're going to read out of Proverbs chapter 31. But let's go to the Lord and have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day that you've given us. We're thankful for each and every opportunity that you give us to gather around your word, to just to dig into the scriptures and to allow the scriptures and your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. We pray your blessing upon our service today, that all that we do and say today would bring honor and it would bring glory to you. We ask your special blessing upon each mom. We're thankful for our moms and all that they do, and how they take care of us sacrificially. We ask that you would just help them, Lord, just to have a great day today and to sense your power and presence in their lives. For we ask all of this now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, reading this morning out of Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates."
Thank you again for joining us for another message. And today we will be in the book of 2 Timothy. So if you have a Bible this morning, I would encourage you to open it to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and follow along. We will begin in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then a little bit later, we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We've been in John's Gospel looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus, but today we're going to take some time, as it is Mother's Day, and we want to encourage our mothers. We're going to talk about the Christian family, so both for mothers and fathers, and really anyone who has an impact on the next generation. So if you look at the scripture, I think you'll see the theme pretty quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to a young man, Timothy, and encouraging him in his faith. Now, he reminds him of the influencers in his life. Verse number 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." That statement right there, unfeigned faith, is going to be an important one, so make a note of that. But notice where this faith came from. Obviously, it came from the Lord, but there were two key influencers in his life. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, And I am persuaded that in thee also. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we have these moments today to study the Bible together, to be encouraged by it. I pray, Lord, that our lives would be strengthened. I pray that our families would be strengthened. Lord, I believe that right now there are probably many that are dealing with stress and maybe even some battling discouragement. I pray that you'd help them to see that the work that they're doing in their home and the influence that they're having on their children, Lord, it is a work of grace. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I pray that you'd encourage them, strengthen them, and give them, Lord, just resolve and determination and spirit filling to carry on the work of raising a generation to follow you. So, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for our time in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So you notice the verse where he says, I'm remembering this faith that you have in you, Timothy, and it was first in your grandmother and in your mother. You know, there is no greater responsibility that we have than raising the next generation. And our goal today from the scriptures is to encourage moms and dads, grandparents, teachers, coaches, any of us, all of us who are influencers of the next generation, to display Christ to our children. These young and eager hearts that follow us in their early years, let's give them Christ. So, excuse me. So the theme today is giving faith to the next generation. Now, I have been encouraged during the difficulties of this COVID-19 crisis. I have been encouraged by what I see and what I'm hearing from families of my friends and our church family and what is happening in their homes. It's amazing. A lot of parents are discovering that God has equipped them, I think, beyond what they even expected to be the primary influence on their children. So many people have become reluctant homeschoolers all of a sudden. And I became aware of some conversations where people just said, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. I don't know what to do. And of course, there's wonderful teachers and professionals that help. But parents and moms need to understand that God has given them what they need to train their children to be an influence on them. And in this account right here with this man, Timothy, there were no greater influences in his life than those very first influencers. And that was his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Amazing things I'm seeing happen in Christian homes all throughout our nation and even here among our church. Now, of course, there's not any perfect homes out there, and none of us get it completely right. But our homes, while they're not going to be perfect, they can be places where God's grace is abounding. You know, a couple of things as we introduce this passage here. Really, what we see here is a generational faith. Now, it's important to say from the outset that no faith is inherited. I'm not a Christian because my dad or my mom or my grandmother was a Christian. That doesn't make me a believer in Jesus. So a faith cannot be inherited. It cannot be genetically passed down from one generation to the next. But rather, our faith is a stewardship that we have, that we have received, and that we are to hand that stewardship of the faith to the next generation who must be willing personally to receive it. But it is an important stewardship. So this generational faith, it's not inherited, it's a stewardship though, and it's imperfect. I said this already, and I don't want, the last thing I would want to happen from this message is for somebody to come away and say, man, I'm just not a good enough Christian parent. This is just all overwhelming for me. I just don't think I can do it. None of us measure up. That's what God's grace is for. In fact, these two women that are mentioned, you have the grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice. We know from the book of Acts that there were problems even in this home. Timothy's mom was a believer in Jesus, but from what we gather, it seems that his father was not. So this was not a perfect scenario. Nonetheless, God's grace was magnified through a godly mother and a godly grandmother, and a young man grew up in the faith. It's a generational faith. But also notice in this verse that it is a living faith. The apostle says to Timothy, when he talks about this faith, he says, this unfeigned faith is in thee, and it dwelt first. In other words, that word dwelt, it means it was living. It lived, it was abiding inside your grandmother and your mother, and now in you too. It's not a cold, dry set of dogmas or religious principles that are systematically drilled into our children, though the education is important. But it is personal. It's life-impacting. It's something, a relationship with Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ, is something that has to reach into the innermost part of our being and affect us to our very core. And that is the faith that Timothy was now walking in. So, to get to the heart of the message today, how do we, mothers, fathers, influencers, how do we give this faith to the next generation? Well, here in the book of 2 Timothy, there are three things that we can give our children, three things that we can give them in order to pass the faith, the stewardship of the faith, onto them. The first thing I'd have you notice today is this. We can give them sincerity. We can give them sincerity. We may not be able to leave them a great inheritance of money or possessions. And if you can, great, that's wonderful. But one thing that all of us can give our children that is that sincere walk with the Lord that we've had. And where we see that is in this word, in this passage. If you noticed it, it's a descriptive word for the faith. He says, Timothy, I see a faith in you that is unfeigned. Unfeigned. You see, you don't have to be a perfect parent, but we must not be pretenders. You see, this word here, unfeigned, it literally means unhypocritical. Be sincere. You don't have to be perfect, but be sincere. Elsewhere in the previous book, 1 Timothy, the Bible says this. Listen to this verse from 1 Timothy. Now, the end of the commandment, in other words, the whole purpose of the Christian life and how it affects us is this. It's charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Sincere, genuine. So as we display our faith, let's make sure that we are displaying a genuine faith, a sincere faith. And I would encourage us today to just evaluate our lives and just think about it and see and just allow the Lord to show us, you know, maybe in this area there's been a little bit of insincerity. There's been a little bit of hypocrisy. And I know that's not what any of us want. So let's just evaluate a little bit. Let's love people with sincerity. Isn't it so easy to let things like envy or greed or our bitterness creep in and affect our relationships with people? Our children watch us. They see the relationships we have with our church family, with our friends, our neighbors, our biological family, the relatives. They see that. Do we have true, sincere Christian relationships? Are we loving with sincerity? Don't allow relationships to be manipulative or use people to serve yourselves, but love sincerely. How about this? Let's worship with sincerity. Let's be families, mothers and fathers and grandparents and uncles and aunts. Let's be people that as we come together, we are not ashamed to worship the Lord Jesus Christ one with another. Be the Christian you are in public, in private. Let your family, let your children see you sing songs to Jesus. Let them see you pray together. I've enjoyed on Facebook, there have been multiple musical groups, both professional and not, I guess, unprofessional, just regular people like us that are musicians who are putting on things like family hymn sings and videos that we can watch to encourage us. And it's just wonderful to see families worship together. This morning for the music for the worship service, a family worshiped the Lord together. And in previous weeks, the same thing has taken place. But let's, in our private homes, be people who worship and let our children see us worship. That worship isn't reserved for Sunday, but it's something that takes place throughout our lives. God's been so good to us. We have just so much to be thankful for. Let's worship and praise Him. And then just live sincerely, honest in our dealings. Boy, if we need anything today, it is some sincere patience and kindness for other people. There are many things that can frustrate us and get us down or discouraged or give us strong opinions. But let's remember that people around us are hurting too. And our children need to learn from us that true Christianity is loving people and living our lives sincerely. Listen, the best thing that we can give them is to just be real. That word hypocrisy in the unfeigned means don't be a hypocrite. That word hypocrisy is the Greek word that the original idea came from actors who would wear a mask on their faces. And so hypocrisy came to mean someone who wears a mask. Can I encourage you today? If you're feeling a little bit guilty right now, saying, you know, I have been a little hypocritical, listen, that comes from a place of insecurity. If we can understand that in Christ we are loved and we are accepted, there's no need to put on a mask of pride or reputation. There's no need to have this pressure to please other people and what will they think of me? Listen, all that matters is that we know Jesus Christ, that we know that He is pleased with us. And that gives us freedom to just be the real people that we are. Otherwise, our children will watch us and scratch their heads when they see one version of mom and dad in public and another at home. If we want to give them the faith, we must give them sincerity. Secondly, there's another theme, and this isn't the only time that Paul mentions that Timothy's faith was given to him by his family. If you turn a page or two forward in your Bible to chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I'd like us to look at verse number 14. He says, Timothy, please continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast received them. And Paul has already told Timothy, I have taught you a lot of the things that you need to know about the Lord and your walk with God. Please continue in them. But he wants to remind Timothy that it didn't start with his instruction. Look what it says in verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Sorry, whenever I talk about, and I'm just speaking, as most of you know, it's just me and my brother in the room today, and I'm looking at an empty church. But when I read these scriptures, and I think about what God has done for me and the family that God gave me to grow up in and the children that God has given me, I'm so thankful for the truth that we see from this passage where he says, your mom, your grandmother, they gave you the Bible. They gave you the Bible. It was a part of American history. And it's unfortunately, it's kind of going away, but maybe some of you have one of these in your home and you have a family Bible. Just and as you, if you've seen it, or if you have one, usually they're these big old books and they're quite intimidating looking. But there was a tradition, and many times people were very poor in the earliest days of our country and they didn't have many books, maybe 3 or 4 books, but one of them that they took with them, as in the, you read the stories of the pioneers, and it was said that they would travel across the country and you'd always find among their belongings a copy of the Bible. So this idea of a family Bible. But sadly, the family Bible became more of a relic, more of an icon rather than something real in people's lives. It became just a tradition. And of course, not for everyone. And I hope that we have today, I know that many of us, we have many Bibles. There's not just one family Bible, but right now, as my kids are watching this message, they've got their iPad probably and their Bible and they're taking some notes and they're following along. We need families that are saturated in the scriptures, that know the Bible and know the Word of God. The greatest thing that Timothy received from mom and grandma was a knowledge and a love for the scriptures. The most vital teaching that our children need is instruction in the scripture. Children need the Bible. They need to read it themselves. They need to have it taught to them, and they need to memorize it. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 is a beautiful passage of scripture. A lot of people think of the Old Testament and the law and the Ten Commandments as being kind of cold and hard, but there's a wonderful passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6. After the law is given, Moses has these words from the Lord. The Lord says this, Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words, the words of God, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's a convicting verse for me. My kids learn the Bible. They go to classes and they're homeschooled with a Christian curriculum that teaches every principle of life from a biblical perspective. But boy, it is always convicting to think that God's plan was for mom and dad to be walking with their children and spending time with their children, and the Word of God just being a part of our lives. We need it. Let's all be encouraged today and reminded how much we need the Word of God, and our children need it. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Our children are given hours of instruction in education, history, math, science, geography, all of those very important things. But how much time are we giving them to the Word of God? Do they know more Disney lines than scripture verses? Do they know more about their favorite animated characters than they do the Bible truths? And then sadly, we wonder sometimes why children grow to not be interested in the Word of God. You see, it's the Word that we need. Now, our children don't need entertainment. They need God's Word. Because it's the Word of God that will bring them through troubled times in their life. It's the Word of God that will answer the questions that they have. And it's the Word of God alone that will give them eternal life. Don't just be a part of a Bible church. Be a Bible family. Give them sincerity. Give them the scriptures. And then finally this morning, give them the Savior. This passage, as I turn back to 2 Timothy, the whole point of giving them the Word of God was not so that their minds would be full. It was to point them to Jesus. He says this, He says in verse number 15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Did you see the progression? There's the scriptures, and there is Jesus Christ who brings salvation. The scriptures, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the point of the Bible. That's the point of being, of giving the scriptures to our children. It's because, listen, knowing Bible stories doesn't give salvation to anyone. Now, of course, we can't be saved without knowing the truths and the stories of the Bible. I understand that. But the point that I'm saying is, it does us no good to be inspired by the story of David and Goliath. But if we do not see Jesus as the great champion, greater than David, who defeated our giant of death and sin and hell, if the stories that we read about don't drive us to Jesus Christ, to know him, then they're just stories like anything else. Jesus would say this. He said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He was reminding us that as we look at the Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation, it's all about Jesus. You see, the Bible stories alone don't save. Theological truths or memorized catechisms, they don't save. While there may be an importance, and of course there is an importance to studying systematic Bible truths, just knowing the facts doesn't save anyone. And memorizing verses and winning all the awards that kids have competitions, and we do this in our Sunday school programs, but knowing all of that doesn't bring salvation. It's only through knowing Jesus. And as we read the scriptures, we encounter Jesus Christ in a real and in a personal way. Listen, do you know Jesus Christ? Whether you're a little child watching this today, or you're an elderly person, or anyone in between, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm afraid that some people look at faith as something that, well, it's important for my kids, you know, to have some foundation in faith, but then often as people get older, they walk away. But the fact is this, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. Jesus would say, if you know the account, many children were coming to see Jesus, and they said, oh, get these kids out of here. And Jesus said this. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he said to the adults, to the grown-ups, the smart people, he said, unless you become like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is waiting and willing to save. But we must humble ourselves as a child and recognize how much we need him. Are you willing to do that? Are we willing? And Christians, those of us, those of us who are saved, those of us who do know Christ, we have to remember all through life that we must remain dependent on him as children. Our children are dependent on us for food, for shelter, for emotional stability. I was thinking about this, there are few sounds that will make a parent move faster than to hear in the middle of the night, Mommy, Daddy, and eyes wide open, the sheets come off, the covers come off, we run down the hall, up the stairs, wherever we need to go to see what's wrong, to run to rescue, to run to save, because those children are so dependent on us. Whether we are willing to admit it or not, we have that same dependence on God. We need to cry out, not Mommy, not Daddy, but Jesus. In fact, actually, the Bible says that we who know Christ, we do call out to him in a parental term. We cry Abba, which is the Hebrew expression, Daddy, Father. But that expression, Mommy, Daddy, I need you, you and I as believers, and listen, it may not sound for a grown man, we may not like to admit the fact, some of us, that we have that kind of dependence, but honestly, search your heart. We know how desperately we need to be loved. We need to be forgiven. We need to be accepted. We need Jesus. He gave his life for us to save us. He obeyed. He obeyed so that we could be made righteous. He died so that we could be forgiven. And he rose again so that we could have eternal life. That's the greatest message that we can give to our children. But that's the greatest gift that you and I each need to receive. Has there been a time in your life, young or old today, has there been a time in your life where you, by faith, have reached out and said, Lord Jesus, I am a lost sinner and I need you to save me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And today I receive you as my Savior. Would you do that this morning? Would you call out to Jesus? You ask, Ethan, what do I need to do? Do I have to go to church? No, simply in your heart, cry out to him. Pray, Lord, I'm a lost sinner. I'm on my way to hell, and I need to be saved. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And today, I put my faith and my trust in you. And let's all be encouraged as we walk with the Lord Jesus, as we seek to influence our children, that there's nothing greater than knowing Christ, than being known by Christ. I hope this morning that this final song, The Power of the Cross, reminds us all of who Christ is, of what he's done for us, and how much we need him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that even though we are at times insincere, that there's grace. We thank you, Lord, that your cross gave us forgiveness, that your resurrection gives us new life. Father, I pray if there's one that is still struggling to surrender their life to you, to be saved, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they call on your name. And I pray for every Christian. I pray for every mom and dad. I pray for every influencer, every person, Lord, that desires to know you and walk with you and share the faith. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen and encourage them today. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen.
We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us today. If you've been blessed by the message, or if you have placed your faith in Jesus today, we want to hear from you. Maybe you still have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please let us know, and we would love to answer those questions from the Bible. We would also be happy to provide you with the Bible and other free Christian resources to help you grow in your faith. You can email us at info@mountgreylockbaptist.com. Or send us a message on Facebook. You can also call us at 413-662-2107. We would love to hear from you, and our desire is to be a blessing to you in any way that we can. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.